Mr. Zarif suggested that Iran's enrichment capacity would not change for 5 years. After a five-year period, he suggests that the country's enrichment capacity would increase gradually in regard with Iran's need of enriched uranium. I think we can say 7 years instead of 5 years. Why? Because Russia is committed to supply fuel for Bushehr reactor till 2021. Bushehr reactor needs 5% enriched uranium, so Iran needs to have 5% enriched uranium after 2021.
Another bone of contention is the reactor in Arak. The West says that the IR-40 could provide Tehran with weapons-grade plutonium once it is operational. The Arak reactor uses natural uranium to produce radiopharmaceuticals. It is planned to gradually replace the Tehran Research Reactor, which produces medical radioisotopes for cancer patients. The West had demanded the closure of the Arak heavy water plant over alleged concerns that the plant may produce plutonium used in the manufacture of nuclear arms. But Iran proposed that it would re-engineer the reactor, that is, to redesign the heart of the reactor so that its production of plutonium would decrease drastically and therefore leave no more excuses for Western countries.
They say that they are worried about Arak reactor, that Iran can make nuclear bombs out of the nuclear waste from the reactor. They are thinking about the ways to prevent Iran from using the waste plutonium for making bombs. Iran says redesigning the reactor's core helps produce far less amount of waste. For example, instead of 10 kilos, 1 kilo will be produced. In addition, Iran does not have the technology to use the plutonium for making bombs.
Iranian officials have been very clear drawing their red lines regarding the country's nuclear rights. Dismantling its nuclear sites, for example those in Arak and Fordo, are definitely out of the question.
P5 plus 1 countries should understand that during the 4 months extension of nuclear talks, our red lines will not change. Our red lines are clear cut. We need an enrichment capacity of 190,000 SWUs. We will never change Arak heavy water reactor into a light water reactor. We will never shut down Fordo nuclear site. And finally, we will continue our research and development in peaceful nuclear technology.
It is up to Iran's Supreme National Security Council to decide what the country's nuclear priorities are and to define the principles that the negotiating team has to keep in mind during the talks.
It's not an issue concerning just the parliament or the administration. It is a national issue. Therefore, nuclear decisions are finally made in the Supreme National Security Council. Various expert committees work on different dimensions of the issues. Decisions are made in the council and then submitted to the leader. If the leader endorses the decisions, they are given to the negotiating team.
Iran's negotiating team is fully backed by the country's top officials. On July 7, 2014, Iran's leader said, "Of course we believe in our negotiating team. We are sure that they will not be satisfied with transgression against the rights and dignity of the country and the people. We are sure that they will not allow this to happen." Officials say that if no agreement is reached within the time frame, Iran will resume operations in its nuclear sites.
If we do not reach a final agreement, we will definitely return to the stage before the Geneva deal. In fact, if we do not conclude an agreement, we will start 20% enrichment, reactivate Arak's heavy water reactor, make new generations of centrifuges, and continue our nuclear activities as far as the NPT allows us.
Many U.S. officials have been accusing Iran of a quote-unquote history of deception in its nuclear program. They say a deal ending U.S. sanctions may provide Iran with a window for economic recovery, whereafter it could resume its nuclear program. The majority of politicians in the U.S. do not agree with a comprehensive agreement with Iran.
If you want to count, in fact, the majority of people who have a say in these issues in the United States actually don't like the Joint Plan of Action. A minority likes it, a minority reached that agreement. A minority wants to resolve this issue because they know Iran is an important country. They know that if they manage to get an agreement on the nuclear issue, they can talk to Iran on other issues of interest to them. But the problem is that these people are a minority.
Pro-Israel lobbyists have a great influence on U.S. politicians, and they are against any agreement between Iran and the P5+1.
I think there is a paradox in the U.S. policies with regards to the negotiations. On the one hand, the U.S. national interests call for reaching a comprehensive agreement with Iran. Its national interests, both in domestic and international arenas, require the country to have a deal with Iran. On the other hand, pro-Israeli lobbies, which have a huge amount of influence over the U.S. government, put pressures on the U.S. administration in order that it does not make a deal with Iran. The U.S. administration has to choose between the interests of Americans and the interests of Zionist lobbies. It is really difficult for Americans to make a decision.
However, numerous polls in the U.S. show that the majority of Americans favor reaching a final nuclear deal with Iran and lifting the sanctions imposed on the country. One example is a July 15th survey conducted by the Program for Public Consultation and the Center for International and Security Studies at the University of Maryland. The study shows that an average 61% of participants favor making the deal. This includes 62% Republicans, 65% Democrats, and 51% Independents.
Overwhelming majority of people who answered said that they want to reach an agreement with Iran on its nuclear issue. The question of attacking Iran, the question of sanctioning Iran more, was not liked by the American public. The idea of reaching an agreement with Iran was. So we don't have a problem with the American people.
The West has been trying to portray Iran as a country seeking nuclear bombs. Iran's negotiations with the P5+1 have proven that the country is only after peaceful nuclear technology.
In recent years, Iranophobia has become widespread in the West. Western media machine propagate that Iran seeks to build nuclear bombs. They say that Iran's policies aggravate international conflicts. They beat the drum of war so loud and our voice was not heard. But in the last 6 months, we managed to deal with the propaganda against us. Obviously, the public opinion in the world has shifted in favor of us. People now look differently at us compared to 6 months ago.
According to Article 4 of the NPT, all the parties to the treaty undertake to facilitate and have the right to participate in the fullest possible exchange of equipment, materials, and scientific and technological information for the peaceful uses of nuclear energy.
When you have the right to produce nuclear power, that means that you have the right to enrich, because you cannot have nuclear power without fueling the nuclear reactor, and you cannot fuel a nuclear reactor without enriching. And this is not just opinion of Iran. As I said, it's opinion of everybody else except four countries: United States, France, UK, and Israel.
Iran has been bearing immense economic pressure for its peaceful nuclear program from the permanent members of the Security Council, all of which have a nuclear arsenal. According to the Federation of Atomic Scientists, the U.S. currently has a stockpile of 4,650 nuclear warheads, 2,130 of which are operational and can be deployed on short notice. Meanwhile, Israel, America's main ally in the Middle East, is estimated to hold between 200 to 400 nuclear warheads.
The
Israeli regime possesses 200 nuclear warheads. It also has not joined the NPT. This is blatant violation. It means that world powers oppress other nations. For example, currently, we see that Israel started the war against the innocent people in Gaza. It launched attacks from land, air, and sea, murdering everybody. But world powers say Israel has the right to defend itself. Obviously, their calls for human rights and peace talks are false.
Iran is under a lot of political pressure for pursuing its nuclear energy program, despite the fact that it joined the NPT in 1970. The double standard becomes more obvious considering the existence of, for example, the Israeli regime, which openly rejects all regulatory international nuclear agreements, the NPT in particular, and maintains a policy of deliberate ambiguity over its nuclear activities, and refuses to allow its nuclear facilities to come under international regulatory inspections, while absolutely no Western official has ever turned their spotlight on the country.
When you tell American officials that why aren't you worried about nuclear weapons that are produced by Israel, if you talk to them in private, they would say that Israel is not a part of NPT. They didn't sign it, so when they're making nuclear weapons, they're not violating their international obligations.
Political and military conflicts in the region have shoved the West towards finding a solution and reaching an agreement with one of the most important players in the region.
What we see now is that we can reach a final agreement. The other side is willing to make a deal. The world situation makes the P5 plus one countries enter into a final agreement. The world situation is currently different from the situation in the previous years.
Many observers see the Rouhani administration as a window of opportunity for the West to reach an agreement. They say it will be difficult to predict what will happen if another administration takes charge.
Iran has been very flexible. This government that we have, the Rouhani's government, has been doing its best to make sure that an agreement is reached. And the other side needs to realize that if they don't reach an agreement with this government in Iran, this administration, and there's a failure and there are difficulties, then whoever comes after Rouhani's administration will be much tougher because they see what happened to Rouhani.
At the earliest possible moment.
The extension in negotiations between Iran and the six world powers beyond the July 20th deadline is a sign that although there are disagreements over key issues, both sides are committed to finding a solution through dialogue and diplomacy. But with major gaps still existing, whether or not 4 months is enough to overcome the hurdles that have not allowed Iran and the P5 plus one to reach a final agreement is something we will have to wait and see.